even if I was ready, I still need to improve anyway.
What's crackalacking, everybody? Money Smart Guy Matt Cipolla here, hailing to you from Dallas, Texas, and back in the studio here with an exclusive interview here with Dustin Gutkowski. And I met Dustin through an app called Minect. And he's a top five featured expert on this app called Minect that I'm also on to as well, but he's top five. And what that app would do is if you want to talk to a business expert, you know, if you get those people that say, you know, I want to pick somebody's brain and I just want to have 10 minutes with somebody or 15 minutes with somebody, or have a video call or a text message response and answer. That's the app that Dustin is a featured app on, created by my CEO, founder of PHP Agency, now Valuetainment, Patrick Bedavid, and in studio with us today, who runs a company. And I was telling him, I was just driving around doing my business here in Dallas, and one of his trucks pulled in front of me. He's doing a roofing job. I said, that's a sign from the Lord. I need to have Dustin on the show. So, Dustin, welcome to the show, brother.
Welcome, man. Thanks for having me.
So how'd you come up with the name of your roofing company? Results Roofing.
Man, it was strange. It's funny you asked. I was literally telling this story this morning. I was working for another company, and it really wasn't working out. Nothing, like, it just, I had my own goals and dreams, right? Yeah. You know how that goes. When you have your own goals and dreams, it's hard to push those on somebody else. Yeah. And so I was looking at Facebook, and you know how memories are crazy. That's like you can see.
I love Facebook memories.
It's wild, right?
For those that are doing shit with their life,
yes.
Facebook memories is what you want to see.
And you want to see, man, I was that guy 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was speaking it to existence. Yes. I just wasn't there yet.
Come on, speak it.
And this one day, I look at like five memories from the previous 5 years, and every single one of them had the word results in it. Like, I'm going to get results. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, results, man, like results. And I was on the, it kept coming in my head, and I was looking through posts, and just, I kept seeing this word, and it was something that I was like, man, we want to be judged off effort a lot of times as humans. Like, we're like, well, I gave it my all. At least I tried. But you're not rewarded off effort.
Nah.
You're rewarded off results.
Results.
And my life was probably, I geared it towards effort a lot of times, previous life. And I always validated my success off effort. Yeah. And I was like, man, I got to grow up. I just had a kid. And I was like, I got to start executing. And I'm talking to my wife, and I was telling her, I was like, you know, I really kind of want to start this company. And she's like, okay, babe, I support you. And I'm driving, and I literally go, Results Roofing, RR. That's it. And she goes, what are you talking about? I go, Results Roofing, that's it. I got to go. And I got off the phone. I hung up.
Yeah.
I pulled over on the side of the highway because I was driving. And I pulled out my notepad, and I started writing logos. And I started writing, like, RR. First, it was, like, the, like kind of Rolls-Royce logo, like, forward-facing. And I did it mirrored for significance.
Yeah.
This is where we came from. Yeah. This is all the past failures. This is all the crap we
went through. Symbolism behind it.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because we're going to learn from those losses, and we're going to learn from those failures. We're going to study the game film. But the forward-facing R is for where we're going, right?
Yeah.
And so it was Results Roofing, and it was to deliver results, not only for us, you know, our people, but for our customers. Like, let's just be a results-driven organization.
Jordan, can you show my screen? So, let's show everybody yours. I'm curious. I'm sure our viewers are curious too. There it is. Results Roofing, boom, right there. It's kind of like the RR, but mirrored. I like that. Cool. Make sure you go to, by the way, I parked right across from you, so it's a big blue truck.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
It's outside right now in the parking lot.
Can't miss it.
So talk about what's the current results right now? Because it's not a decade old company. If it's 7 years old?
No.
Where are you in business right now?
4 years. So we opened November 23rd, 2019. So right before COVID, literally 3 months before COVID.
Wow.
So yeah, we're new, man. We're a baby. We're actually, we're going through, I'd say we're early, but we're going through a private equity deal right now as well.
Good.
We're looking to grow and expand. The talks are 100 million plus, right? That's where we're at.
Nice.
We've had a lot of success, man. I feel like we haven't. I'm very judgmental on myself. Like, I put a lot of pressure on myself. So I feel like if I put pressure on myself, it alleviates the outside pressure, because you can't put more pressure on me than me. But we've had some success. I think the revenue is a tell of the tape, right? I mean, you're based off that. But the more important thing is for us, and you got a chance to see at the meeting, it's the lives we've impacted. When I look at the 30-40 reps we have working for us, when they came to us weren't in a situation. Yeah. And now they're better fathers. They're better humans. They're better husbands. They're better people. They're growing. They're financially.
That's my language,
ordered.
Man. I
that's
love
it,
it,
man. That's what I live for. Yeah. So that part of me is success, right?
Right.
So
you're just not in Dallas. You expand also in Florida?
So, yeah, we actually just got our license in Florida. So we're going to be expanding
nice. Congrats,
there.
Congrats, man.
Well, yeah, thank you. We're going to be in that Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Then we're looking. Cool. You know,
nice.
The Tampa, Naples, like that whole, yeah. We're going to go coast to coast.
Yeah.
We're Dallas now, Houston. We're actually going to be expanding to Austin and San Antonio as well. So we're trying to take the Lone Star State and then go over to Florida.
I love it, man. So I love the area that you're in because that's where PBD is at, Patrick. But David, one more time, Jordan, can you take a look at our screen? So this app called Manect. Okay. If you look at Manect here, you can, everybody can download this app. If you want to pick the brain of featured experts, this is created by Patrick Bidev, CEO, founder of PHP Agency and Valuetainment, hosted a PBD podcast. But he also has a bunch of other experts that's on there that you can quote unquote pick their brain. What's the other app where somebody gives you a shout out?
It was Cameo. Cameo. Yeah, Cameo did it. And yeah. I think they went under. They're having
a little tough times right now. And by the way, why do you think Patrick's looking at it?
Naturally.
Yeah. By the way, how Amazon built its business is they bought an online catalog, one of the first online catalogs back in the day, and that's how they grew the database.
That's awesome.
To sell books in the early 90s. But Patrick has got an app called Manect, and everybody can download this app called Manect. And what you do here is you find an expert you want to talk to, featured experts, and boom, who's right there? It's a little laggy. But you'll see here, right in the middle there, is Dustin. Come on, technology, work with me.
You should get the app, and I'll tell you why. As a user and a quote unquote expert, I hate saying that, but it's
you're on the screen now. There's Dustin.
As a user, you can connect with people, right? And you can connect with people. You kind of skip the riffraff.
Sammy the Bull. Who wants to talk to Sammy the Bull, man? Mafia in New York, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Just incredible people, man. There's
Michael Francis, Mr. Goodfellas.
CEO of Redcon.
Yeah.
Right? So look who's that handsome fellow on the bottom right. There he is. Oh, the 7 Bigger Squad. There we go. He looks familiar.
Maintain our 5 stars, baby.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. I go judge. I'm like, 4. Ooh. 4.
Yeah, probably, Sammy the Bull might not be the most prompt person to be on Manek because, he's OG.
Yeah, but here's my question. Who in the hell doesn't give him 5 stars? Like, if you know what he's done, I'm not the guy giving him. I don't care if he answered or not. I'm giving my guy 5 stars.
The former hitman that was in prison.
Yo,
you don't want to get the mafia hitman, man. It's hilarious.
It's crazy, man, because you can go ask Patrick. You can go ask anyone. And it's amazing to be instantaneous.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to respond typically in less than a day. And then let's say you're established business or up and coming, you can network, grow your own business. So not only can you help grow your business from talking to experts, you can grow your business from people reaching out to you.
Yeah, and you're established. You know what it's like to start a company. You know what it's like to get the foundation established. You know what it's like to recruit internal people, to recruit salespeople, to keep people together, to deal with somebody quits, to deal with someone when you need to fire somebody.
Absolutely.
What's the biggest questions for Mr. Featured Expert number 5? What's some of the biggest questions? If you were ranked the top 3 most asked questions on Manect from them to you, what would you say? How would you categorize them?
I think one of the ones is what would I do over? Like if I started again, because a lot of people are starting out, like you said, and then what would you do if you start over? And I think that's almost like a psychological question of they have fear of failure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're asking that because they want to dodge that, which is the right question to ask. Sure. But I always tell them, man, nothing, because I learned so much more from the losses than I did the wins. And I think we want to fall in love with the wins, which you should.
Yeah.
But when you fall in love with your losses, and I hate that whole like, well, I don't lose, it's a lesson. No, you lost. Yeah, and if you're like me, I hate losing.
Yeah,
like,
it's an L, baby.
It hurts. But what I've grown to do is let's look at it hard in the mirror. Let's figure out why we got beat, and then let's implement something that can help us get to the other side. And so I actually wouldn't do anything over again. I would probably do more of certain things. So I try to focus on that. Like, the L's taught me so much. Yeah. They taught me more about myself than I ever would have known. But I try to focus on, man, I would have did more of this. I would have did more of networking. I would have did more of social media. I would have did more of meeting realtors. I would have did more with aligning myself with the right people, because instead of what would I have done differently? Well, nothing, man, because look where I got to. And I don't think I would have got here without going through those. And so that one there is, and I think this is always this is where people come in handy, is like people want to learn how to increase their revenue, right? They want to increase how to learn how to increase sales and top line. And so that's a question that's asked on probably almost all of them, right? And ironically, man, kind of a one-off question that I've gotten a lot of is they throw in family, like I'm starting a business or I have a business and I struggle with the spending time growing the business and the family. And I think that's one of the question that you can tell, you can almost feel the pain or passion through the text. And that one for me is it's difficult because there is a lot of sacrifice we make with family, right? I have three small children. I know you have a family and people don't realize, they see whether it's a nice car or your success, they see you traveling. And what's ironic is I had someone reach out to me today, like, man, I saw you at UFC and you were doing this and you were podcasting. And it just with the Patrick podcast, right? I had Patrick on. So Thursday we filmed Patrick. Friday we filmed some people. Saturday we had UFC and it was, you know, my guy Kevin's fighting. And just, oh, man, it looks like you're living the life. And deep down, I was dying inside because all I wanted to do was be home with my kids. You know, so the sacrifice. There is no balance, man. There's no balance. It doesn't happen. So
you agree with that, But when it's time to be with your kids and your family, it's all in.
It's all in, man.
You know, and it's the quality of the time that you have.
Absolutely.
With them, you know? We did a few years ago, and he goes, we're in Hawaii, right? So we're in Hawaii, and our son at that time, he was 9 years old. So we have a 9 year old, and the 1 year old, he just stayed home because kid's not going to appreciate Hawaii.
Not yet.
So I said, hey, Jojo, I said, do you feel bad that mom and dad have to work all the time? We're not at home sometimes where you would like us to have us home, but you know, we can have lunch with you and here and there, but it's not the consistent thing every day.
Yeah.
You know? He says, no, I'm fine. You got to do what you got to do in your homework. I got to do my homework. He says, are you sure? Why are you okay with that? He goes, look at us. We're here. We're in Hawaii. All my friends are back home. And we're like, and we're looking at the breakfast of the Hawaiian islands, the ocean, the palm trees, just the ambiance, the birds, just peace.
Yeah.
And just paradise, bro. And he's like, no, I'm glad we're here. Took my 13-year-old daughter. When you're back to Maui, Hawaii seems to be our thing. And she says, babe, what do you want to do when you grow up? She says, Poppy, I want to be like what you're doing. I said, what? I want to be an entrepreneur. Why? Look at us. We're in Hawaii. So the fact that they can experience a lot of these things above and beyond what maybe their cousins are doing or their family, or other side of the family is doing, or their friends at school aren't doing, that's the juice. That's what makes it worth
it. There is a sacrifice, though, and I think you have to understand what you really want. I didn't really understand this until I figured out who I was first, right?
Yeah.
First step was figuring out who you were. I think we get it backwards. We want to figure out what we want instead of who we are first. And then once you figure out who you are, you can start to understand, like, what you really want to accomplish, right? Yeah. And when I was able to do that, it eliminated a lot of distractions because I was like, man, why am I doing all these things I don't even care about? Why am I hanging out with this person I don't care about? Yeah. And so there is a sacrifice you make, but I understand that it's worth it for me because of where I came from, right? Yeah. I don't want to ever go back there, and I don't want my kids to experience that. So I'm fighting this with my backs against the wall mentality, even still today. And one of the similar point, my oldest is fixing to turn 7. I had my wisdom teeth taken out about a year ago, and
was it, by the way? I'm going to take mine out.
Terrible. Here's what wasn't bad. The first night was terrible because I did no stitches because they told me it was going to heal faster or something. And so it wouldn't stop bleeding.
Jeez.
And so I kept waking up in the middle of the night, and my son, he slept with me upstairs and he was scared and he goes, Dad, you keep bleeding, you know? And it's like, I'm okay, Connor. And he goes, I wish you would stay home from work tomorrow. And I said, you know, I can't. He goes, I know you won't, Dad, because you go work hard so we live this life.
That
was the first time he had ever acknowledged it. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, Dad, we get to go on these trips. You know, we get to go to Disney every year for Christmas. And I get to do a lot of things other kids don't. And that made me bawl my eyes out because I was like, wow, like he's understanding it. And it was like, and then I was like, I'm time to go to work again. You know, I want to keep giving them that life.
Yeah, I mean, today, I mean, for those of you watching this live or on the replay, if you're not fighting to improve the quality of the life of your family, bro, what are you doing? What are you doing? There's more to life than just same old, same old. When in realtor, you know, we used to say to each other, boy, how you doing, man? Same day, another day, another dollar.
Yeah.
Same day, same shit. Right? Like, talk like it's good enough for government work. Like this, and I was in the Marine Corps, right? Like, why do you have that attitude? Aren't you taking pride in your uniform, taking pride of your job, your rank? I just never embodied that type of mentality. That's, I think, I knew I was wired for something bigger in life.
Well, there's nothing wrong with, like, man, I like shoes. I like the chain, right?
Sure, sure.
You want nice cars, nice homes, yeah, right? But you're not going to, and it sounds cliche, and I think if people paid attention, people are like, well, it's just a cliche. Well, they're cliches for a reason, man, because they're true. And so pay attention to them because they've proved over time that they're legit and they're truth. Yeah. And you can't take that car with you when you're gone. And you're going to look back one day and go, when it's all, let me think about it. One day when you, unfortunately, it's all said and done, you're going to be on your deathbed or on your last, who's going to be there? Hopefully your wife, your kids, right? Yeah. Most of the other people aren't going to be, that car's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. None of that's going to be there. And so how are you not wanting to better your life? And the flip side is, look, man, you brought your kids into this world. They didn't ask to come into this world. Yeah. They didn't ask for you to be their parent. You made the commitment to bring them into this world. I owe my kids everything. I want to make them proud of me, man. I want to be their freaking hero. Like, he could pick anyone in the world. Like, pick me, man. I want to be your hero, but I have to earn that.
Yeah.
And so I go in that mentality every day. Yeah. Like, it's not just material things, but it's taking them to school, you know, making sure I tell them I love them, making sure that I give them the attention, do stuff when I get home, simple things. Don't come home on the phone. Yeah. Sometimes I drive around the neighborhood over and over and make sure I'm off the phone. So when I walk in, man, those three kids and my wife get their attention, like at least that I love you. And I love it that my son's 7. He still runs to the door.
It's the best feeling.
It's the best, man.
Best feeling when kids
that's
come
home. That's the life. That's it. There's nothing better.
Yeah, kids, when they rush you and they grab a leg.
Oh, man. Yeah, and they hold me, and they're fighting over who. Oh, I'm like, oh, that's the best.
That's heaven on earth, man. You mentioned the word cliche. I've always been, you know, weird about that word. So cliche, here's the definition, everybody. Cliche, the definition, a phrase or opinion that is overused and betrays a lack of original thought. But at the same time, too, as well, if we're saying a similar truth, it's a value, it's a principle, and it's not cliche, it's not an opinion, it's fact.
Yeah, like when you say your network is your net worth. And we joke, it was old cliche.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
Look who you align yourself with. Yeah. I didn't elevate my game until I elevated the people around me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get elevated people around me until I elevated myself. And it's like history always repeats itself. And, you know, these cliches. I used to say, wow, I was like, man, that's not true. But I'm like, wow, it is true.
Yeah.
So show me, you know, your 5 friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
All those things are true, though. And so if you pay attention to them, it kind of works.
You just inspired another Instagram reel for me, bro.
Ten
cliches that are really true.
There you go. Right? Yeah, the gotchas.
Maybe we need to do a co-creation of that. So number one, I do it. Number two, you do it. 3, I do it. 4, you do it. Blah, 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 blah.
Let's go.
We just see. By the way, that's ideation, baby. That's how we come up with ideas.
Yeah, there we go.
We create that and we collab post on that and we make an impact on anybody that consumes that content. So let's talk about, you weren't always in roofing. So talk to us about what were you doing before?
I was in the health club business, so managing gyms. So similar to Patrick, I never was at Bally's, but I was at 24 Hour Fitness, Fitness Connection for a little bit, Crunch. So I worked at a few different gyms. Austin. So I did Austin, Dallas. I was in North Carolina for a little bit, Michigan, moved around.
Gotcha.
But I was in the health club from when I was 19 to 35. So I was 15, 16 years in health club.
Wow.
That's all I'd known. I didn't think I was going to do anything else.
So trainer, did you come up being a trainer and then health club manager?
Sales. So I came up sales.
So membership sales.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Membership sales, worked my way up to like sales manager, assistant, general manager, district manager.
Did you ever
want
to be a trainer?
No, not really. Yeah, I was for a little. You know what was funny? This is a fun fact a lot of people don't know. I moved to San Antonio for a couple years, right? And I was managing these smaller health clubs. And I started training, working out. I was doing like some MMA and people were like, hey, I need a trainer. And we didn't have any trainers there. And so the owner was like, we kind of maxed out our capacity. And he's like, man, you could train people in a split, right?
Yep.
So not a problem. Well, I ended up training like some local celebrities. So I actually trained, RIP Charlie Robeson. He was the country music singer, like entertainer of the year. He was married to the Dixie Chick. I trained to the police chief of San Antonio, Officer McManus, a few times. I had the Gabriel family. They owned like all the liquor stores there. And then one day I get approached and they had a show on A&E called Heavy. Okay. And they wanted to, it was a kind of a spinoff of The Biggest Loser. And we trained every day, five days a week for like 5 months.
Wow.
And this lady, she was, you know, like 4'11", and she was like 300 pounds. Mm. And we had to completely change her lifestyle. So they filmed it. It was this documentary on A&E. So I was a trainer for like 6 to 8 months, and she lost over 100 pounds and changed her life. And it was such an impactful story. And I remember one moment where I was like, wow, you can impact people's life. And I think this is where I got addicted to it, was we're working out and we were doing step ups with like 20 pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
And so she's stepping up and she, I'm like, just one more, you know, I'm like, one more. She's like, I don't have one more. I'm like, got one more. Like, give me one more, you know? And I'm like yelling at her. I get chills telling the story. And then she goes to step up, man. She kind of slips and drops the dumbbells. And I just see these tears pour out of her face. And she, I thought I injured her. And I'm like, my heart sank. I'm like, oh my God, like, what did I do? Like, I pushed her too hard. And I'm like, you okay? And she, when I say bawling, I've never seen anyone cry like that. And she goes, she just hugs me. And I go, what's, talk to me, you know? She goes, today when we weighed in, I lost 40 pounds. And those dumbbells were 20s, so 40. And when she dropped it, that was the weight she lost. And she goes, I felt the weight of the world coming off me, my health. So she was doing this for her family. She was doing it for her kids. And I'm like, and she's like, you've done this. And I'm like, you know, I didn't do it. You did it. But it was like with her having me in her corner, pushing her, you know, responding to late night texts, like, don't eat this. I'm proud of you. Let's keep going. We would meet on Saturdays, even though we weren't supposed to, and work out again. And all these things to help her. It was like, I got addicted to it. I had never felt those type of endorphins. And I was like, man, this is what I want to do. I want to help people in some shape or form. So it was kind of probably one of the kickstarters of my career on wanting to help people and impact others.
Yeah.
So it was crazy.
No better way to impact somebody's life than being an entrepreneur, man.
Yeah.
Because then it's at scale.
Absolutely.
By the way, for those of you guys watching this, tap in. Where are you guys viewing in from? Are you guys from Texas, even San Antonio? You guys from Austin? Tap in. Where are you guys watching the podcast from here on Seven Figure Squad? You're watching Dustin Gutkowski here, owner of Results Roofing here in Dallas, Texas. Now expanded to Sarasota. Got some private equity actions happening. So another question I want to ask you is, originally, where are you from originally?
Austin.
So from Austin, Texas. Really?
Yeah.
Did you have any inclinations that you were wired for business, entrepreneurship, before maybe that experience being in the heavy competition?
Not when you look back, it's easy to say, back to the old cliche, you know, hindsight. But not then, but I was a hustler at a young age. And
how were you with authority?
Terrible.
Really? No kidding.
You know what I've learned about myself? I can work with people, but I can't work for people.
Is mom and dad, did mom and dad raise you?
No. So, mom was literally a drug addict, still is. I was homeless at 14. I was literally out of the house, living on a park bench at 14, bouncing around.
Shit.
Yeah, it's tough. Don't know who my real dad is. I can't.
Seriously?
Don't even know his name, man. Like, there was three names on my birth certificate, and my mother scratched them out. And so we did all these DNA tests. We still can't find it. I've done Ancestry. I've done all these things to try to find it, and we can't find it. And when you go to Ancestry, there's like 20 last names. There's not even a similar one where you'd be like, oh, Smith, 8 times. It's probably Smith.
Yeah.
It's kind of a lost cause, man. And I gave up after I had my kids, because the crazy story was, I was really embarrassed of my last name. It's my mother's maiden last name. It's not my father's. As a man, he thought, like, I'm going to carry on the last name. And I'm like, what last name? I was in a lot of trouble. You know, I was a homeless kid. I was from the trailer park. I was, you know, just, I didn't want to live that life, but I didn't know how to not live that life. So it's kind of the typical, let me move away from my problems. Like, man, you're the problem, not the city. Let me change my last name. That'll help. Right. That's what I thought. And I told my wife right before our son was born, we're going to change the last name. And she's like, okay, babe, support you. And when I saw my son born, when I saw Connor born, I lost it. I was like, man, this is the greatest moment of my life. And I said, I saw her holding him and I lost it. And I was like, I am going to make this last name proud.
Come
like,
on,
we're
baby.
Gonna do it, right?
Let's go.
So,
yeah,
man. That was, you know what I would do? I would go door to door and I had no money. And so I just knock on doors and just say, hey, Matt, I'm Dustin. Nice to meet you. I would never say I was homeless at like 13, 14, 15, but I would say I'm making money for the summer and I will do any chores around the house. And they would go, well, what do you do? And I'd go, man, rake leaves, cut your yard, move boxes, clean your house, mop your floors, whatever you want me to do, clean your pool, I will do it. And they're like, how much? I go, I'll do it. And then you pay me what you think I'm worth.
But didn't you tell me you're homeless? By the way, I've got a follow up question to this. Why didn't you tell me you're homeless? Why should they feel sorry for you?
I didn't want people to feel sorry for me. I was really embarrassed.
That's it.
I didn't want them to.
Pride.
Yeah.
So who gave you that pride Your dad's not around. He's not feeding you an identity. Your mother's not around. She's taking. She's not playing that mothering role.
Yeah.
So how did you get the self-worth?
So my grandfather was actually my step-grandfather. It wasn't my blood grandfather, which is even more strange, right? And I didn't know that. So I'm kind of a mixed mutt over here, you know, like just everything, bro. And my grandfather,
Polish last name, right?
Polish last name. So my real grandfather, my blood grandfather, Polish, lived in Wisconsin, passed away many years ago. God rest his soul. We just had no relationship, right? But my grandfather, I had a on and off close relationship with but it was difficult because my mom and my stepdad were just, man, they just didn't raise us right. And they were always, you know, they would antagonize the family and on drugs and, you know, steal from the family. So then we weren't allowed over, right? But when I was around my grandfather, who's in the military for 25 years.
Oh, okay.
And so when I did stay over there for like the summers, man, your ass is up at 4 a.m.
Okay. You know, so structure.
There was some structure there, yeah. But it was so inconsistent. But I think I latched onto it in many ways.
Yeah. The little you got, you latched onto
it. I latched onto it. Yeah. And so it was a pride thing. Like, yeah. He used to teach me in the morning, like, you get up and you shit, shower, and shave. Get that stuff off your face, you know. Like, it was literally the and I still do this today, man. Like, I shave before I work out, and I work out at 6 a.m. before. Yeah. So I latched onto that. So that was the thing that I would say from him.
Yeah.
Very prideful man, very stubborn man.
Yeah.
Worked his ass off, man. I never saw a harder working man in my life. Like, wow. Up until he died, he would drive. And I remember him telling me the story, man. It was so sad. I remember him telling me one of the last times I saw him. He said, because when I got older, I got closer to him, right? And he said,
What's older?
Well, he died when I met my wife, and me and my wife had been together 10 years. So he died about 10 years ago. So I'm 41. So call it, you know, late 20s, early 30s, got a little bit closer. And he had said, when they make me stop working, it'll be it for me. And I was like, He was in bad health. For like 20 years, they had told us every year this is going to be Grandpa's last Christmas. But he was still working in his shop, still hustling. He would drive the elderly people around to their medication and their doctor's appointment, even though he was in worse health than them. I mean, like, so unsafe. He's going to take out a whole bus of people. And they told me he couldn't do it because he had like a heart attack. And and they wouldn't let him do it anymore. And literally like 6 months later, he passed away.
Wow, he spoke his own prophecy.
Because he knew. He lived for a purpose. So I think that hard work gave him his purpose of, as a man, like, you got to work towards your goals and dreams. You got to keep grinding.
And that's why I say my book got you. I think this whole theory and premise of retirement, I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole retirement planning, this whole, I'm going to retire and then sit on my ass until, you know, the day I die and just click the, you know, click challenge my remote.
Can't do it.
I think it's hocus pocus type of stuff. But you're getting a lot of feedback here, brother. Also is from SFO. Martha Gonzalez says, hi, this is Martha from Los Angeles. She's watching us right now in her break.
Hi.
She goes, thank you for being so open and sharing your testimony. Inside, man. So
I used to not, man. It's for anyone out there, man, that has a story.
Yeah.
Look, we all have a story.
Yeah.
And some is going to feel like yours is outweighs others. And sometimes you're going to read someone's story and say, hey, man, I could never imagine what you went through. Well, you don't have to. You didn't. But just show some empathy for other people's story, because you don't know how it impacted them. And share your story, because there's thousands of people out there that could. But sometimes that hearing your story one time could change their life, because they have the confidence now to know that somebody else went through it and they can go. And I spent many years, man, being fake, let's just call it what it is, lying about my story, because I was afraid to face those demons, because I thought those demons would take me out. And when I realized that those demons were made up in my own head and I was putting more judgment on me than anyone else ever was, I was like, I'm not that important. Like, I'm judging myself on what I think other people are saying. And you tell your story and be authentic, and you'd be surprised at how many people then accept you. Yeah. And the only people that don't accept you are the ones hiding from their own bullshit, because they don't want to be exposed, right? So, look, if somebody doesn't like me because I was homeless at 14 or grew up in a trailer park, I probably don't want to be friends with them anyways. And we're probably not going to get along, and we're probably never going to do anything together. So who cares?
Yeah. OSO said, I felt that, man. He says, I'm also a mixed mutt.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, I get it. I've done it all.
That's awesome. So you're fending for yourself at 14 years old. You're doing your thing. Did you graduate high school? Did you get a GED? Did you get a diploma?
It took me 5 years to graduate. I laugh and I go, I'm probably the only redshirt freshman ever in high school. Like, not college. I graduated. It took me 5 years, man. And I think they kind of pushed me out a little bit, because if you go look at my GPA, I actually posted it the other day. It was like a 1.3 or something, or 1.3. Wow. And but if you look at my, or if you look at the last semester, my fifth year of eligibility, it was 90, 100 for like some of these bogus classes that I'm like, man, now I'm like,
these ones you bye-bye.
They just wanted me out of here. They're like, bro, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. Just get out. Yeah. So I did, man. I graduated and I got a job in the fitness industry when I was 19. And that was my first job. Well, actually, second. I worked a day at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I wanted to wait tables and make some cash.
Yep.
And they made me be a busser. And I was like, I ain't doing this.
Yeah.
And I was about to walk out the first hour, but they told me I get a free meal. So I ate the steak and then bounced.
Booyah.
And then I got a job in the fitness industry, and the rest was kind of history for there. I worked there 15, 16 years.
Tell me how you recruit now. You're recruiting for your business. You're recruiting mm-hmm. for your roofing company. Give me two people that you're recruiting. In your hiring interview for people for staff.
Yep.
And then recruiting for your contractor to go out there and get jobs.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I fundamentally believe every business that's out there in today's age, there's three things that will help you be successful. And if you do these things, you'll be successful. Don't try to sexy it up. Not all the hard work. Hard work just gets you in the arena, right?
Like
But deals pays the bills. It's the most important thing. Without sales in any organization, it doesn't exist. Exactly. You have to have sales. Like, you have to have revenue.
Yeah.
Second one is social media. And the reason I say is everybody's on social media. You have to post actively on social
media. It's the new newspaper.
That's it.
Of the 20s and 30s, right? The magazines, yeah.
And you're organic. Why do you look at, why do you buy product a lot of times? You see celebrity endorsements. You want to align yourself with people you like. You buy clothes from people. Like, you align yourself. So you should be that local celebrity. Post on your personal. I'm a huge fan of organic social media. Post it on yours 3 to 4 times a day. Not just work, but who you are, your family, your kids, what you're about. And then the last one.
Do you have a personal Dustin page? Do you have a results
page? We do, yeah. So we still have a results, right? But I post a lot of work stuff on my personal, right?
Because it could cross-promote.
It's who I am. RR is who I am. And then the third one, which I think is the most important, which those tie in together, is the recruiting. Hire, train, recruit, develop people, rinse and repeat. And if people don't know who you are, they're not going to want to work for you.
Yep.
If you're not making money because you have no sales, they're not going to want to work for you. So it brings them all together. And that's literally our foundation that I've built the company on. And so when recruiting people, I don't care about skill. Now, for our labor portion, absolutely. And I had a guy the other day that he was on a job. And I was like, man, this dude's doing incredible work. And I said, I want you to come work for us. And he's like, I got a job. I was like, I'll pay you to walk off right now. And they were like, Dustin, you can't do that. That's like, I was like, I don't care. I was like, I will literally pay you to walk off. But
because he wasn't at what?
Oh, because I wanted to steal him. He was doing a job for another company. I don't care. Like, listen, I am out here to win at all costs. And I told him, I was like, you need to come see us. And, you know, like, I want you to come work for us. And he's like, here's what they pay me. I was like, I'll pay you more. I like what you're doing, right? I love this. I could see the skill in his roof installs. So I want a guy like that to come work for me. And they're like, well, why would you overpay? Because I'd lose money not to. Because talent's going to win out, right? You can overpay for talent. And that's for the labor piece. Obviously, you look for skill on the labor piece, but you look for attitude. If somebody has a great attitude and is willing to learn on the skill piece, then, you know, when there's a skilled labor involved, like installing a roof, you can't just have random people that have a great attitude. You have to have some skill involved, right? Yeah. Now, on the sales leadership portion, I literally look for attitude.
Are they a combination salary or commission, or just commission? We're all just commission. Our guys are all commission.
Yeah. So if you get hired just as a sales rep, it's straight commission, right? Now, we do have people that are salary and commission, and we have leaders that are and bonus potential because when they get up. Now, there are certain individuals we've recruited from other organizations or we've brought on that we knew in previous lives where they couldn't transition straight to a sales 100% commission. So we've given them like a spiff or like a
draw.
Well, so some draws, yes, but some people, like if I knew you and you called me up, like, hey, man, I'm just out of the insurance game. And, you know, I got out and you're not at your level, right? But I know you're a great sales guy. But you're like, Dustin, I only got like 15, 20K in the bank, right? That's not going to let me survive for the next 3 or 4 months. I might give you a 3 month just salary. You don't pay back, no draw. Because I want to see you win. And I know you're going to win. Yeah, so it's an investment.
Yeah.
But those are only for select few individuals. But I've recruited people and I've literally hit people up on Instagram. How much you make at your company? What are you doing? Well, you couldn't afford me. Name a number. Like, oh, man. I said, I didn't ask you if you're happy, bro. I just asked what it would take. And they throw a number. And I'm like, done. I'm like, what? I'm like, come on, man. So I go to recruit. We've had decent luck with people from other organizations. But I like to bring people up, man. I like to.
From the ground, organic.
I do, yeah.
You like to draft, not to free agency.
Baseball. I want to bring them up in the minor leagues and homegrown talent.
Yep.
And then if we do have a major hole, then we might have to go. We've had some high level hires. Then we'll go out and hire that person. But we will. But I typically look for the attitude because they got to fit our culture. We're a competitive culture. We're a winning culture. We don't. Yeah. I don't associate with other roofers. Yeah. I don't want to. There's very few people that I do in the roofing industry.
Yeah.
I'm playing to win. I play for keeps. I don't. No disrespect.
Yeah.
But that's just us.
I'm laughing here, bro, because you know, for those in the Valley Taming community, for those in the Seven Fear Squad community, they're rocking me in PHP and see you're saying the same similar values and principles that we talk about at PHP, man. So no wonder Patrick likes you that time, man. So it's one thing, like oftentimes people say, you know, I just rather recruit someone, poach somebody from somebody else because it's easy because they already know the industry. They already know, you know, the vendors. They already know the jobs. Why just easier for them? You just kind of throw them an extra commission, come over. Why is culture, you just said a very key word there. Why is culture such an important thing to you versus somebody that may not be from the culture and you got to break down some of that culture they learned from other companies to build them back up in yours?
Yeah, I don't. So I actually don't like to break people down. I don't think it's healthy. I don't. You've been, if you've had success in your other organization or your industry, who am I to tell you it's wrong? Because I don't think it's wrong. I just think it's just different. Like I don't. So many people come to an organization and they just want to point out. And I think this is why they fail, or they come into an organization and they want to point out everything that's different and associate different with wrong.
Yep.
That's not how we did it at XYZ company. Well, it doesn't mean it's right.
Yep.
This is how we do it. It doesn't mean they're wrong. That's just how they do it. And so when they come in, they associate different with wrong. Right? It's the problem, I say, with the world is like we see somebody different. We go, oh, he's wrong. Like, I don't want to be associated with him. It's just different. And so I think that puts a cancer in the culture because they're constantly walking around. This is not how you do it. This is wrong. And so you can almost put some doubt in existing people's minds.
That you're building up.
Exactly. Because they're like,
and they're pinning them against you.
Yeah, because like, wait, is this wrong? Yeah. So it's not to say everybody, right? But also at the same time is I don't want to spend my time breaking someone down. I would rather build people up because I feel like you get more by building people up than you ever will by breaking them down. And so there are people out there that you can bring in and will have some success. And look, you're a lazy leader if that's your only way to hire, because that means you don't want to put the time, effort, and energy into them personally and professionally to make them better.
Yeah, you're not in the trenches, baby. You just want to see your ivory tower.
That's it. And you don't want to deal with the egos and the issues. And I've learned this. Five people that work for me now were all my bosses.
Wow, at other companies.
Mm-hmm. Like high up. You want to talk about just the craziest shit? Like imagine.
How was that recruiting interview? I mean, like walk us through that. I mean, he's like, they're looking at you like I used to.
Like I
used to manage you. You used to work for me.
Well, so my business partner, imagine if Patrick at his peak and you're an entry level insurance agent, level. And that's my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he was. He was the VP of 24 Hour Fitness. He was a legend. This guy's got more people recruited. His name is Jason Miller. You met Jason. You know Jason.
Okay.
Legend in the fitness industry, man. And, I was fired from 24 because I was running my mouth. I was a hothead, super competitive.
I don't see that.
Yeah, it's crazy. lesson learned. I didn't really learn much, but ran my mouth to one of my bosses and I got fired. I was a super competitive guy. I'm highly emotional and wildly competitive. Jason, he called me to come back and I hung up on him.
Oh, wow.
And so we're now business partners and I'm the CEO and he's my COO. And so I think for me, it's all keeping grounded in. This is where I think people get off task and off track. They don't know where they want to go. So when a problem comes up, the problem becomes a major problem because it's a distraction. For me, I know where I want to go.
That's a profound statement, man. Because a lot of people get caught up in little bullshit.
They do. Because they have nothing else to go. Yeah, they're like, oh, man. And me, it's like, there's a problem. What's the solution? So I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let this be a distraction.
Yeah.
I have such an ego that I want to win that I'm able to put my ego aside because I know if I have that ego, I'm going to lose. And so I'm aware of it. And I don't get caught up in the who's the boss.
Yeah.
It's like, look, man, we're a team. We got to care about winning. We got to care about getting better. And we got to care about each other. And I'm not special. I'm just a normal dude here working. I work for you guys. You don't work for me because there's 7,500 other roofing companies just in DFW. You chose
it's
results.
It's a lot of life church. I go in there and I go to churches.
It's 20 different roofers. So think about that. Think about they could have worked for those 20. They could have worked for those other 7,500, but they chose me and results.
That's right.
I don't take that lightly. I want to help them win. So I don't have that ego. So it's like, guys, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Let's go win the goals. Let's go hit our goals and dreams. And so I take the emotion aside and I'm able to put it and say, I think here's the ironic thing. There's so many things that they're better than me at. I'm so thankful every day to be surrounded by them because they help me get better because they are 10 times better at a lot of things I can't do. So I'm like, man, I hope these guys like don't kick me out. You know, I have that chip on my shoulder where I come in thinking that I'm going to get fired every day, even though I can't get fired. I still think I am.
Yeah.
And that's that chip on my shoulder to come out and prove myself every day.
So we say that all the time at our office is that if people quit on you, you might be the CEO, you might be the founder, but when people quit on you, that's a very, when people quit on me at the Money Smart Movement, when people quit on me and my team, it's a version for me because they can never fire me.
Yeah.
But they do when they quit.
They do.
That's a version of that.
Yeah.
But they can't fire me as a CEO, but in their life, they said, there's another leader in my life that's deserving more of my time and resources.
And sometimes
I feel bad for that. Yeah.
And
for
me. You know what it is? And everybody that leaves is my fault. And I analyze every single person that's left the organization. And sometimes every single person that's left, you know what's crazy? Is that even when it didn't work out for them in their next life, there was two or three things differently that I could have did that maybe could have saved them.
Yeah.
And I always look at it. The one that hurts me is people are like, don't take it personal. Like, this is my business. I take everything personal. Like, don't tell me that. And the second thing is, man, if I'd have did that one, I know that other leader wasn't good for them. But I didn't do what I needed to do to keep them here. And now that person is going to be more punished because they're going to go work for a leader that doesn't give a damn about them.
Yeah.
And that's my fault. Right. Yep. And I live with it and I own it and I try to move on. And I've made some terrible mistakes on people in the 4 years. And I've tried to learn from them.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. This is something I never thought I'd get even involved in or let alone be aware of. But, you know, it's election year. And I never thought, you know, well, I don't give a shit about politics. I'm from Chicago. I mean, what is a politician going to do for me anyway?
Yeah.
They're not going to change my life. But then you see the government getting bigger. You see the government paying off people's student loans. You see the government giving stimulus checks and unemployment and extending things. And, you know, and our southern border here, just everybody just rampant, just running across the border. And politicians say, we'll give you some cash and a hotel and a safe place to stay and blah, 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 blah. In New York, the illegals out there are complaining that they're getting kicked out of shelters and like, you know,
it's crazy.
They're kicking us out of shelter. Like, what were we supposed to be obligated to pay for all those different things? And I don't want to sound insensitive because I'm an immigrant family, but we got here in a way that was supposed to be the way that you're supposed to get to America. And our family got here. Matter of fact, we hire a lot of people that are here on working visas to get them in a mode so therefore they can earn their citizenship. My wife and I hire people that have working visas to get people here legally, right? Yeah. And so, you know, Plato said something that he said, to not at least understand politics or have some form of involvement in it is one day to be ruled by your inferiors.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of crazy crap that's going on right now. Has who you're voting for, the people that's representing you, creating policies that affect yourself as a family man, as a husband, as a father, as an entrepreneur that affects your employees, have you gotten any more involved in what's going on or more aware?
So, I laugh and I'm like, when we sell the company, I was like, when I'll use PBD for an example, like when he started doing politics, I was like, man, what the hell is he doing? You know? And I guess maybe I didn't understand it, but I always try to seek to understand. Like when I see somebody and I'm like, okay, he's got to have a what? And I don't think I really understood it. And maybe this is part of why he did it as a business owner. I know he was here in Dallas and shut down and left. Yeah. Credit to him. Cause you know, we were in the middle of COVID. I don't think I started to really care as much until my son got in school. And then when my son got in school, I have a rule, man. It's two things, bro. You don't mess with the people I care about. Like you don't mess with my money and you don't mess with my kids.
Exactly.
And when you mess with my family,
ability to provide, put bread on the table.
Yep. Hey, man. That's where I draw the line in the sand. Yeah. And so I'm not involved in politics like yet. And I don't know how far I take that. But as I see my kids get older, I start to take a stand on things. And I'm like, listen, man, there is a line in the sand. You can go do whatever the hell you want to go do, man. I don't care which bathroom you go to, but you go into my kid's bathroom, we're going to have a problem, man.
Right.
Like you could call him a money guy. I hope you got a good life insurance policy. I'm not doing that, man. I'm not trying to change your thought process, but don't try force to come over and force it on my kids. And so, you know, look at, I have a weird stance. So a lot of people think, well, you just lean this way. I actually lean very far right when it comes to taxes and stuff because I own a business and I want to take care of people. And people don't realize, you know, I have 135 employees, man. I have Today alone, we're paying out over $100,000 in commissions. So it was like $150,000, right? Today.
Love it.
Right? Today,
to other people.
To other people.
I love it.
And our every Friday, man, we're throwing out $250,000 to $350,000 in payroll a week. Yeah. A lot, right? I'm boosting the economy.
Sure.
And so, look,
you're a generator. You're a producer.
I am. And I'm lives and spending. And I don't want to pay 50% of my income to other people. At the same time, is right. Yeah. I lean far left when it comes to social injustice. I don't. My wife, immigrant family.
Sure.
My wife was raised Muslim, not Christian. But hey, my kids wouldn't be here without that.
Sure.
So I don't want people to be treated differently because of the color of their skin.
Sure.
I don't want people to be treated differently because they immigrated legally here. I don't want people to be treated differently because of their religion. I don't like that. Obviously, you can see we're one of the most diverse groups ever.
Bunch of Filipinos in the studio right now. It's like, all my cousins are here working for you.
And when racism bothers me, man, and I don't, but here's the thing. I believe that, you know what, if I can give some of my money to help people, I'm all for that because we've all been down in our dumps. And so do I think there's certain people that need help? Absolutely. You know, I would love to help the homeless veterans, like
for sure.
Mental disability, because like there's people out there that have no one. And if I could put some of my income, because I'm blessed to help, man, I'm 100% in.
You were there.
So it's exactly. Yeah. And so I go this way and I'm like, but why do I have to just vote for this side or this side? And if I don't agree with everything you say, I'm different. I'm like, I like them this way because I don't want to see people be treated this way. I don't want to see, you know, the social injustices. Yeah. I don't. And I don't want to pay 50% taxes, 40%. Like,
sure.
Can we figure this out? And so when we start getting into this, like, you know, oh, well, your kids are going to teach them. Man, you ain't teaching my kids that. You're out of your fucking mind. Excuse my language. You know, like, that's not happening. And if you do, I'll send you my address. Stop by anytime. Like, it's not going to happen.
Your kids are boys and girls.
So I have my two oldest are boys. So I have 6, 3, they're boys. So I have Connor, Kobe, and then my daughter Gianna is 1.5. So
Gianna's competing in sports. She wants to run a 100 meter dash. Next, you know, some young man wants to say, identify as a woman now. Next, you know, he smokes every woman in that field.
So you're telling me is he was so insecure, he couldn't make it in his own race. He got his ass kicked.
His own gender side.
So he came over and went, I don't want my daughter competing with that. I just don't, right? Yep. And I have a strong stance on my wife is a stay-at-home mom, right now, because we have 3 small children, 1 in school, 2 at home. We have a nanny that comes a few days a week to help out, and I get a lot of hate, like, well, your wife is a stay-at-home mom. Why didn't she do this stuff? Why would I not hire a maid for my wife? Why would I not hire someone to help cook? My wife is the MVP. She stays home with our children, and she's raised 3 of our kids, and she's still going. If my wife called me tomorrow and said, babe, I want to start a career, I would do everything in my power to help her start a career. If she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, I do everything. And they go, well, what happens when the kids get older, 18, and they move out? I go, then my wife retires because she put in 18 years worth of work. What are we talking about? So I'm you know, one of those people with our kids. It's like, I don't want that stuff pushed on, and I would never allow my daughter to compete with that, because why would you? Because my job as a man, I feel like, is to go provide for the castle and build the castle. My wife protects inside that castle. I can't have a kid.
Yeah.
I can't. I can have a kid with my wife, but I can't birth a child. I can't. My wife can. And I believe in that old school values when it comes to that. It doesn't mean I'm right. It's just my belief.
Sure.
But I'm not going to go stand marching in the street trying to get you to change yours. I just, like, do you, boo. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I believe the most overworked, underpaid, and at many times underappreciated job in America is a stay-at-home mom.
Stay-at-home mom. The MVPs, man.
Yeah, stay-at-home mom. And so they deserve that. And the privilege of being able to create the resources to have that done.
Absolutely. You know,
and but, you know, I think feminism has a lot to do with calling that out, that mindset. But last question I want to ask you. The premise of this YouTube channel, the premise of my show, is guys that are leading their lives in faith. And I'm not saying they have to be a Christian. I'm not saying they have to be a Catholic. I'm not saying they have to be a Bible-banging religious person or pushing religion down people's throat. But I believe as an entrepreneur, as somebody saving and investing, helping people, you have to operate in faith, not fear. So what is being a faith made? What is being a millionaire? What does that all mean? If you were encapsulating that into one thought process.
Most people don't know this about me, but I have 3 tattoos. Praying, I have a cross here, my brother's initials. I have Deuteronomy 31:6. You have to go look it up. Super special to me. Across my back. It means a lot to me. And I have praying.
Deuteronomy
31:6. And I have praying hands right here on my side.
Love it.
This reminds me every day when I get up and I have my shirt off in the mirror. It reminds me to pray.
Love it.
And then that is just a reminder of where I've come from in the dark to go to the light, but that somebody was always with me. No matter who you think it was, there was a higher power always with me in that those dark times. And I don't push that on a lot of people, but I believe in the power of prayer, power of positive thought process and manifestation. And there's been too many things in my life that have happened to me that were out of my hands. And there's been somebody there, right? And there's been a higher power. And so I ultimately believe that there is. And that's why I have those. And I don't show them a lot, and obviously, when the shirt's off, because they're for me to remind me, like, hey, man, when you get up in the morning, like, be grateful. You got another day.
Yeah.
Most people don't. Hey, take a look. So I do. I believe it's such an important part. And ironically, I chased my whole life trying to become a millionaire, doing all this stuff. And now that I've achieved those things, I realize it didn't matter. It's all about the people you're with, your family, your impact, that the money, the cars are all just like items and they're meaningless. But the impact, the real fulfillment is others. The real fulfillment is that higher power, your children.
Yep.
That's your legacy, your kids,
yep,
your wife, your family, you know, all that, man. So
I love it. Y'all got a job to do. You might as well use money, your business, your career, your relationships as a tool for a higher purpose. And the question for you, for those watching this, is what is that purpose for you? And if you're clear about it, can you use money and entrepreneurship and influence as a tool for you? You said Deuteronomy 31:6.
Yeah.
Here we go. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. There's no faith. When there's faith, there's no fear. Do not fear nor be afraid of, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I love that scripture. So, folks, if you're here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and by the looks of today, there might be some.
Well, actually, you had a 35% chance tonight.
And you guys are like, yeah, baby, let's go. It is hail season here in Dallas. So who knows? Future opportunities may come. Results roofing way. So make sure you follow Dustin here. We got all of his links we've been showing here throughout the show. Make sure you follow all the links here on the description. Make sure you follow Dustin. Follow his work, his journey. He is giving back constantly to the community. He's got events going on too as well. If you're in the area here and you want to get an interview, I suggest you have a opportunity to meet together with Dustin. And one thing I know about Dustin, the way he reached out to me was through Manect, and he paid his way to get to me. So no, he's a giver. Life gives to the givers, takes from the takers, and has a very accurate accounting system. Dustin, you're a giver, my friend. I'm pleased to know you and get to know you as time goes on here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So with that being said, guys, make sure you subscribe, hit like, drop your comments below. You like us? You don't like us? Oh, well, let us know. If you agree with us, you don't agree with us, let us know. Put in the comment section below. With that being said, do meet again. Continue to live smart. Continue to love smart. And be money smart today. See you next week. Bye-bye.